Massive, little infinitesimal transformation. Those are called continuous symmetries. What about translation symmetry? Is translation symmetry continuous or discrete? Well, it's continuous. You can take any translation of a system and think of it as being compounded out of lots of small translations. The continuous symmetries are the ones, in particular, the rotation symmetries and translation symmetries, are the ones I want to focus on. Okay. What do we know about continuous symmetries? We know that we can build them out of lots of little elementary small transformations. So let's focus on small transformations. We're going through basically the same manipulations that we went through over here. Time translation is a continuous thing. You can build up a time translation by 10 seconds by thinking of it as lots of little time translations by microseconds. And that led us to the conclusion that U's are related to Hermitian operators through this relationship here. Exactly the same is true of every continuous symmetry. Exactly the same thing is true. Every continuous symmetry can be thought of as being built up by little infinitesimal ones, which have the form 1 minus I epsilon, not times a Hamiltonian, but something, some Hermitian operator. Let's call it G. G stands for generator. G stands for generator. What we're thinking about now is a symmetry transformation, but one of them which is very close to being the identity. Such a transformation can always be represented as something close to the unit operator, and close to the unit operator means just shifted by a small amount. By the same argument, they told us that H is Hermitian. G is also Hermitian. Symmetry operations, which are continuous, can be represented in terms of infinitesimal transformations which are generated by a generator G. Plug this into here. We then write the commutator of H with 1 minus I epsilon G is equal to 0. What does that say? What's the commutator of H with 1? The commutator of anything with 1 is 0. Everything commutes with a similar average. The I epsilon that factors out, what it tells us is that symmetry operations are generated by, this is what it means to be generated by. Generated by means to be built up by lots of little ones. They're generated by things which commute with a Hamiltonian. So, if you want to find all the symmetries of a problem, you start looking around for all the things which commute with the Hamiltonian. There's another feature of things which commute with the Hamiltonian. You remember from last quarter? It's true both in the double, what was that? They're conserved. So, conservation and symmetry are closely connected if you want to find all of the symmetries of infinitesimal transformations which are generated by a generator G. And if we plug this into here, we then write the commutator of H with 1 minus I epsilon G is 0. What's that say? What's the commutator of H with 1? Commutator of anything with 1 is 0. Everything commutes with a single amount. The I epsilon that factors out, and what it tells us is that symmetry operations are generated by, this is what it means to be generated by, generated by means to be built up by lots of little ones. They're generated by things which commute with a Hamiltonian. So, if you want to find all the symmetries of a problem, you start looking around for all the things which commute with a Hamiltonian. There's another feature of things which commute with a Hamiltonian. Do you remember from last quarter? It's true both in the, yeah, what was that? They're conserved. So, conservation and symmetry are closely connected. If you want to find all of the symmetries of a problem, it's equivalent to finding all the things which are conserved. Now, this is very abstract, so we need to do an example or two to get the idea. Let's do an example, and let's begin with translation. Translation is what we find from one place to another. Translation of a wave function. We want to take a wave function. Take a wave function. We're going to move it a little bit. We're going to translate it. What operation do we do to translate it to a new position? We're going to take that new position to only deviate by a small amount, by an epsilon, but we know what the answer is. The answer is psi of x goes to psi of x plus epsilon. Epsilon now could be a large number. We're just translating by a large number, but specifically I want to think about the case of a small translation. Translation by a little bit. So, psi of x, in other words, we can write the translated wave function. That could be like this one, whatever v is, whatever v is, we're going to figure out what v is. That's pretty easy for them. That's what I mean. If he does it, it acts on psi of x and translates the wave function by epsilon. Now, if epsilon is small, we can also write that this is equal to psi of x plus the derivative of psi with respect to x times epsilon. So, what v does, what v on psi does, is it gives back the same psi plus something proportional to the derivative. That suggests, prove.